Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com.
I'm Grace Bonney of After the Jump, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit HeritageRadioNetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. It's June 10th, 2014. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43 and the Good Beer Seal. Thanks to our sponsors, GreatBrewers.com, a comprehensive website aimed at bringing the beer community together. So I'm here with my good buddy, Dave Broderick, back in town after so long. The Blind Tiger owner who's basically taking over Vermont with his Worthy Burger, Worthy Kitchen. Welcome back, Dave. I haven't seen you
in
months.
Hey, Jimmy. Good to see you. I know. It's been a while. Terrible.
So, tell us about what's going on with Worthy Burger, because one part of the show today, July Good Beer Month is coming up in New York City, and the thing that started it all, our Good Beer Seal, we're talking about expanding to places like Toronto and Vermont where there's new beer scenes, and also a guest tonight, we have Tomas from Barvolo in Toronto, a good buddy, and a chef from South Carolina, and we've got a lot to talk about, world of beer. So,
cool.
Yeah, what's going on in Vermont, man?
It's warmer. Finally, long winter, and so the restaurants are all heating up, not just ours, but everybody's, thank God, and it's been great. I mean, a lot of great beer being made, a lot of expansions going on, a lot of the stuff that was hard to get before is now a little more available, so, you know, the Lawson Hill Alchemist train is expanding, so it's been great, a lot going on, it's great to be there. But it's nice to visit New York City every once in a while.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. And let's say hi to Tomas. So, Tomas, just say a little about yourself. I met you a few years ago with the guys from Due to CL. We had a beer dinner at Jimmy's Number 43. Tomas Morana, Barvolo. Tell us about what's going on in Toronto and how your family had a restaurant and you turned it into a beer bar, right?
Yeah, my mom and dad opened up Cafe Volo in 1985. It started off as an Italian restaurant, just making my grandmother's food, classic Southern Italian. Then about 10 years ago, I think we made the shift to craft beer, and it just really spun the restaurant into a complete different direction. Now we're not really a restaurant at all. We've got 32 taps, 6 cask ales, running an import company, and one of the largest cask festivals in North America.
Wow, that's great, man. And our other guests, let's make sure we introduce everybody first. A chef from South Carolina, Brandon Carter, the executive chef at the Inn at Palmetto Bluff in South Carolina. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with beer at your restaurants in South Carolina.
Well, I like to drink a lot of beer, but you know, other than that, we have this festival that we do in November that's called Music to Your Mouth. So we had this opportunity to bring in a lot of the brewers from around the country, and also some of our local brewers like River Dog and Westbrook and things like that. We've been playing around with some beer dinners that we do with a local restaurant on Hilton Head Island. It's an annual craft beer dinner. This last one we did with Stone and Allagash and Avery. But we paired all Mexican foods with it. It was blow away.
All right. So one thing I want to talk about today. So in 2009, a bunch of us New York City beer bar owners, including Dave Broderick, Ray Dieter, formerly of DBA, and Jimmy's Number 43, got together and created a group called the Good Beer Seal. And one reason was that there was the first New York City New York Craft Beer Festival in 2008. And we felt that, hey, we do Beer Week every week. You know, we're dedicated to tastings and education, and we always have the best beers, and it's not something we just do once a year. So we came up with this thing called the Good Beer Seal, and from that we started this radio show. But we're starting to think about what to do with it next, because we've got over 50 places in the New York area, and we're not necessarily going to be what is this group? We're not necessarily going to be a Zagat or a Michelin star, but we have tried to create some community with small independently owned beer bars. And recently, Tomas, one of your regulars who also listens to Beer Sessions Radio from Toronto, came in and we started talking. And he said, "Why don't you expand the Good Beer Seal to Toronto?" And I said, "Well, let's do it. Let's invite Tomas down for a show. Yeah. Let's have Dave Broderick on, because you're part of the new craft beer scene in Vermont."
Yep.
And let's think about what does a Good Beer Seal mean? Because, you know, there's a lot of breweries. There's breweries guilds. You know, wine producers have their alliances. But us as small, you know, beer bar, beer restaurant owners, we don't really have much of a way to distinguish ourselves, you know? I don't know, Dave, you've been part of that. And how do you feel about that in terms of your role in Blind Tiger and as you go forward in Vermont with your Worthy Burger places?
Yeah, I think it's actually a great idea, because it just, first and foremost, it makes us think about what makes a great beer bar. And, you know, when I moved up to Vermont, I wasn't really planning on doing anything up there commercially. But there really wasn't. I had to drive up to Montpelier to Three Penny to get a good beer, so it was 45 minutes. So we finally decided to do something there, and then I started thinking, okay, well, you know, what kind of place? How are we going to do it? And really, it just made me sort of bring everything I did to the Tiger, you know, remove the stuff I didn't like, and add in a few things, but really sort of streamline it and make it simple. But what is it? You know, it made me sit down and think about what makes a great beer bar, and sort of revisit that, you know, 15 years later. So it was a great experience for me, and I think, you know, when we sat down to figure out Good Beer Seal, it was the same thing. You know, what does this mean? When you give somebody a Good Beer Seal, what does that mean? And so we sort of came up with our whole mission statement, and I think it still stands, and I think it's a great thing to take on the road. I think other places would really respond to it, other cities and states.
So in this journey for you, when you went to Vermont, opening Worthy Burger, Worthy Kitchen, what are some of the guidelines that you felt made a place a good beer bar restaurant worthy of Good Beer Seal?
You know, it was, you know, obviously it starts, one of the things is focusing on, you know, what kind of beers you're going to sell, and you know, who you gravitate towards, and building those relationships. I mean, to me it's always about, you know, selling people's product that I you know, I really like it, and I like what they're doing, I like what they're about. So it starts sort of with that focus. And then in terms of the presentation, you know, obviously we always talk about clean lines and temperatures, glassware, all those things. But even, I guess most important of all is like knowledgeable people serving it to you that can tell you some of the stories, about the beer. More and more we focus on that. I think that's super important. Again, we're very, you know, we're independent. We're a small company, not many people.
You almost started a migration to Vermont. I mean, a number of your Blind Tiger employees have moved to Vermont, right?
Yeah, that's just because we needed knowledgeable people up there, and it's such a, we're in rural Vermont. It's not easy to find people that want to do what we're doing. So it's nice to have people that come from, come from the Tiger and have had a lot of experience and get to go up there and sort of help train our staff. And they really, you know, Ian and Jonna have really done an amazing job coming from the Tiger, moving to the middle of nowhere, and really taking a lot of people under their wings to really help them along. And it just, you know, they have a lot of passion about it, and they really, it's infectious. And so it really helps, get the staff excited and the customers, because you got to train, you know,
yeah,
you're really training the customers ultimately. And it takes a while. When we first opened Worthy Burger, the first place, nobody even knew what Hill Farmstead was, you know, and I'm like, how could you not, you know, it's an hour and a half away, and how could you not have ever heard of it? And so it was kind of eye opening. I felt like it was 1996 again, and I was starting over from scratch with our clientele. And it took, it was much less than in 96. It took about 3 or 4 months to get the clientele up to where they were really, pretty, you know, their palates just, they started to recognize good from bad and started to demand other things. When they first came in, they were asking for whatever, Yeah. And then after a while, they knew what to ask
fast,
for.
Fast forward to 2014 in Vermont. I you were talking about some of the breweries that there's people that will go and wait in line for 10 hours for a beer release. I don't want to wait in line for anything, but I'd much rather go to a good bar or restaurant where I can sit and have food and have a curated selection of beer. What are some of the places in Vermont that if I go up to Vermont this summer, that I would like to go and have a beer with some food?
I mean, there's like they call Route 89 goes kind of cuts right across the state in half. It starts in New Hampshire and then comes into Vermont, and I think there people call it the IPA Highway now. But it actually starts further south. Whetstone Tavern down in Brattleboro is making beer and selling other people's beer. You know, that's your first stop, and then you come up to us. We're in Woodstock in South Royalton. And then you go up to Montpelier. Three Penny obviously stands out. Positive Pie is there as well. And then you get to Waterbury, which is like, you know, central. And you've got Pro Pig and Blackback and a bunch of other places there. And then you get to Burlington and you got the Farmhouse Tap and Grill. So it's just like there's a ton of places.
Yeah.
And so it's great. It's really, it's just changed. Since I've been there, I've had a house up there since 2000. And it's just completely different place, beer-wise and food-wise. Both of them have come on so strong. So, it's still very uniquely Vermont. Both the beer and the food is real, you know, it just has its own, you know, voice and character and stuff, which makes it, like, even more fun. And it's, you know, we're in the midst of farms. So that kind of changes things, too.
And you, as a beer bar owner in Vermont, so you have access to all the best Vermont beers too,
which is nice.
Well, like Lawson's Finest and
yes,
Hill.
Yeah. Now it's
so
it's,
we don't have to wait in line at those breweries.
You don't
we can go
have to
one of your bars.
You can just come to one of our bars, you know. And you know, I never say that to Sean or Sean, but yes, if you don't want to wait in line for 5 hours, you can just come and grab a burger and drink a beer.
So Tomas, so tell us about Toronto. So same kind of thing. So you know what, you know you. Help change your family's restaurant and into a beer bar, and you're running cast festivals. So tell us more about the Toronto beer scene and what you think is worthy about it to make let the Good Beer Seal go up to Toronto and start giving out some awards.
Oh man, the last 5 years in Toronto has been unbelievable change. I think finally Toronto's starting to feel that craft beer movement. 5 years ago, it really didn't exist. There was a few pockets, a few bars here and there, and it was such a niche market. And now there's so many people from all ends of life, the wine world, the food world, coming together for craft beer, which is really exciting to see. Bars are opening up every week. Cask engines are being installed, and almost every bar is becoming a normal. It's a really exciting time, and it's very different from when I was working the bar when I was a bit younger to now. Is the customer and the education and the knowledge of the customer has really changed.
So I read about what's going on in Toronto. There were some issues with like, distribution, and it seemed like for a while it was only the major Canadian breweries were controlling most of the
yeah,
lines
I think,
and things.
The one thing about Toronto and Ontario specifically is that we're limited to what options are available to us. For people that don't know about Ontario, Ontario is under kind of a monopoly distribution. It's government-run, the LCBO. And I think that was part of the reason what drove my father and my mother to pursue different beer. It was not really satisfied with the options that were available to us. We couldn't get a great American beer. We couldn't get beer from Europe. We were just whatever was available on the shelf at the, you know, government retail stores or the handful of small distributors, and it was mainly larger breweries. And part of the reason why we started an import company and we started to bring in our own beers.
So that's what you did first? You started an import company?
Yeah, I should probably credit my father, Ralph, and Ina Morana for doing that. And I think that was part of the reason, because they just were unhappy with the selection that was available to us. Craft brewers in Ontario at the time were not taking risks. Now it's a much different story. Ontario craft brewers are doing great stuff. But at the time, it was, you know, very mediocre. There wasn't a lot of excitement going on, and the product availability wasn't there. And so we just decided, you know what, why don't we go to the source and bring in stuff ourselves?
That's great. Well, you're wearing a hat with a cask cutout, and your shirt says Cask Days.
Yeah.
I know you're serious about beer.
Yeah, I am. I'm pretty serious about
beer. And you've got six casks. That's a lot of...
Six casks?
Six cask engines. It's like, that's a lot of...
Yeah, it's an unreal thing that cask beer has really exploded in Toronto. I don't know if you guys know about Cask Days and the history of it, but it was kind of an idea that my dad started in 2005. Started off with 20 firkins on the patio of our bar. You know, beers were okay. Half of them were unservable. fast forward, you know, we're going into our 10th year. And last year we had 250 firkins from across Canada and the UK. And it's incredible, you know, it's this movement of cask beer has really exploded in Toronto. I don't want to say Ralph's the only one that has to do with that, but, brewers.
That's a huge amount of beer.
That's a huge amount of beer. A
Whether
lot of firkins.
Cask or not, yeah. That's 250 kegs. That's amazing.
And what's cool about it, I think, too, it wasn't just about cask beer, is that it stimulated brewers to experiment outside of their kind of normal, you know, mind, you know, I'm going to make a dark ale, a red ale, a wheat ale. And then all of a sudden, Cask Days really, I think it enticed brewers to experiment and make one-offs. And I think that's where the idea of one-offs and creating new stuffs specifically for an event really came out of it, because no one was doing anything like that.
So Tomas, why should we expand the Good Brew Seal to Toronto? What places are worthy of it there?
I think Toronto is such a hidden gem in the beer scene. You know, there's so many, you know, unique parts of the world where brewing culture is really popular. I think Toronto's that kind of percolating scene that's next in line. It's that hidden gem that, there's a lot of great breweries in Ontario that are starting to make beer that's, you know, IPA specifically. You know, before, you know, people from Ontario were really keen on traveling to Buffalo. That was a thing. Go to Buffalo for the weekend, pick up as much American craft beer as you can. And I think now a lot of the local breweries are really starting to make beers that are comparable. In terms of, your question was about the beer scene in Toronto?
The establishments for the bars and restaurants serving good beer.
It's pretty amazing. I think Toronto's got a really tight scene in terms of, you know, the beer. I think Toronto's a weird place where I think it was the beer bars that really pushed the craft beer industry, whereas in some it was the brewers. I think beer bars really said, like, listen, bring us new product. We want new stuff that's exciting for our customers. Beer bars, I guess, that are notable in Toronto, you know, it can't go without saying the classics. Definitely, you know, Say What and Beer Bistro are on that list. Bar Hop and Verst Beer Hall are some pretty cool spots. Recently, which a lot of New Yorkers have heard of, is Bellwoods Brewery that just opened up on Ossington. And I think they're really that kind of new age brewer that's pushing those boundaries. The first Ontario brewery to really make Belgian beer, so I think that's what makes them so unique. But a really cool brew pub. I think you should come to Toronto and check it out, Jimmy.
See, that's the other reason we should do this, because then we can get to go to these places.
That's the whole point of it.
I knew that was it.
We'll go on the road, you know?
Beautiful.
All right, hey.
World tour.
We're going to take a short, well, including the South, man. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio.
Like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, greatbrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. Greatbrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, greatbrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit greatbrewers.com today.
Hey, 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 this is Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Hey, July Good Beer Month is coming up. It's going to be the 6 year. We got a lot of things going on, including our good friends at Coney Island on Tap. It's going to be one of the bigger beer festivals in New York City in a while. It's July 12th. It's at the Coney Island, the ballpark where the Brooklyn Cyclones play. It's going to be pretty cool. Over 100 different breweries, including some of our friends from Avery, Bayou Teche, Captain Lawrence, Cricket Hill, Omegang, Kelso, Lagunitas, Radiant Pig, Perennial from St. Louis, and many more. And we've been talking with the guys, Coney Island on Tap. I think it's going to be a pretty good signature beer festival for
It's a great spot, yeah, too. That park is beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, imagine like being in a baseball stadium and having a beer festival. Do you guys have anything like that in South Carolina? Anyone doing a beer festivals and baseball stadiums?
Nothing quite like that I know of. But, you know, in Bluffton, where we're at, there's this great culture of festivals, and you know, whether it's the craft beer festival in Bluffton or Savannah, or you know, oyster festivals, there's always the beer flows. We're drinking one of my favorites right now. I've actually never had this one, but Westbrook is definitely one of my favorite breweries out of South Carolina. The One Claw.
Yeah, it's one that we're able to get up here.
Yeah,
I've had a lot of Westbrook.
Yeah, their Goza has been it sells like crazy up here. And this is really nice. It's got like almost like a little fruity,
know,
with the rye, a little spice.
Yeah, it gets a little sweetness, yeah. And the bitter kicks in the end.
What about beer festivals, Dave? I mean, we've had such a great time over the years going up to Cooperstown, Belgium.
Awesome.
Cooperstown. You guys are. What's going on in Vermont this summer?
Well, we've got we always have the Vermont Brewers Fest, which obviously I think now it sells out in about 90 seconds. You know, it used to take days and weeks to sell all the tickets. So, just because of what's going on up there now, it's super popular. And now I just found out this weekend, I think it's called a Pub House Jam in Bolton Valley. And it's going to be, it's Labor Day weekend, I think August 30th. And it's, you know, features Alchemist, Hill Farmstead, Lawson, Trillium just got invited, Treehouse. Some of the hot, you know, New England breweries are going to be there. So it sounds like it's going to be pretty incredible. And I think Mad Taco is going to be doing the food.
Oh, that's great.
So it'll be really nice.
That's awesome.
Well, I'll tell you, for New York, this will be the 6th annual July Good Beer Month. We're really excited to be partnering with Coney Island on Tap. It's coneyislandontap.com. July 12th at the Brooklyn Cyclones Stadium in Coney Island. And that's a great location for a beer fest. You know, you're going to be there at historic Coney Island. And they've done a great job. I think they're also part of a Saratoga Beer Week. You know, they're a new group that's producing a lot of beer festivals. So we're excited to have a signature beer event for July Good Beer Month in New York City. So Coney Island on Tap. Check it out. All right. So here we are. We're talking about expanding the good beer scene. We're talking about beers in Toronto and Vermont, but also in the South. So what are some of the other things that you guys do down South? I mean, you're Southern people. You have good restaurants. And you're in South Carolina, which is a great place. I mean, I've been to Charleston. I love it.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, the Lowcountry right now is a special place to be. You know, the awareness for, you know, great beer is on the rise. We have a ton of great breweries popping up. What I think is coolest for me is that, you know, like the one brewery that we have in our town, River Dog, you know, they're not scared to get out on the limb and, you know, try some different things and, you know, and to fail at some of them and to make really awesome things with others. It was cool. The festival we do in November, Music to Your Mouth, the past couple of years, we've had Pappy Van Winkle there to, you know, do bourbon cruises and stuff like that. Well, we leveraged that relationship. We got a Pappy bourbon barrel, and we gave it to River Dog, and they did a quad that was a Pappy barrel aged. So, and we served it at the event. It was incredible.
You need to bring us some of that.
I'm pretty sure it's all gone.
Well, Brandon, you're the chef. You're a chef of. Tell us what you do as a chef, because you're up here. What are you doing in New York City if you're a chef in South Carolina?
He's living the life of Riley.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Are you going on TV shows or something?
He's going to Per Se tonight.
Yeah, I am. I'm living a lifestyle that I can't afford. But so we're up here. We're doing Music to Your Mouth. We took it on tour, sort of. So we're taking it to different communities around the country. You know, started in Austin. We did an event here last night with Food Republic, with Sean Brock, at Little Al, I think it was called.
Little Al, it's a great place. Yeah.
Little Al. We had an incredible event. You know, we really celebrated Southern food. You know, and we came together and we shared the room. So we got this, and then we're going to North Carolina afterwards. You know, it's just a, you know, it's about taking it around and sharing it with other people. You know, whether it's, you know, great beer, brews, or, you know, good food.
And what kind of foods have you been doing? Like, you know, when you go to these places, what are you bringing them? Like, what are you showing them?
You know, I always like to showcase. When I walk outside of my restaurant and I look in the front, I see the May River, right? And I can see the oyster beds that I get my oysters from. You know, and next to those oyster beds are the where the clams are. Yeah, you know, blue crabs, stone crabs. So when I go other places, I want to share those things that I feel are special, you know, about where we're from with other people. So, you know, for instance, last night we did a clam ceviche that was with clams from Bulls Creek. You know, and it's, like I said, I could see that from my front door, which is it's an incredible beer dish, too. You know, the brightness from the lime, and, you know, the salinity of the clams and whatnot. We did, like, fried corn with it, too, so it was a little toasty.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, this other beer right here, the Yellow Pills, a couple of those ice cold on a porch, you know, somewhere in South Carolina.
But you know what's cool?
When it's hot.
When you say Yellow Pills, I think it's a Southern beer.
Yeah.
But, you know, well, I think everybody knows where it's from.
It's coming from North Carolina now.
Yeah. Well, they're making it there already. Oscar Blues.
I'm sure they are. Wow. Yeah. They must
so now
be.
Our Colorado brewery is a Southern brewery too.
So the it's cool. We the event that we're going to do in North Carolina is at Lake James, which is right outside of Asheville.
Oh man!
And y'all know about the great breweries that are in Asheville. So
I just had some Wicked Weed yesterday.
Oh, we were there. I don't know, maybe 3 months ago, and that Wicked Weed was one of the places we hit. What a great facility!
Is it really? Yeah,
it's incredible. You know, they have a great restaurant there, and then they have another tasting room downstairs
What are your favorite dishes to cook? Let's say we did a beer dinner tonight at my place. let's say.
Can we?
We could. We could do it right now.
We can make that happen.
Yeah, right? like a 5-course beer dinner, you know, with your, you know, Southern Carolina regional influences.
Wow. You know,
you can start light to strong. So a simple, basic beer pairing, but pick like a 5-course progression. I'm putting you on the spot, but
okay.
I know you can do this in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, I've been training for this my whole life. so I'm definitely going to start off with some oysters, right?
Thank you.
And we're probably going to taste the beer. We're going to see what kind of notes.
I'm writing this down.
Okay, good. but
oysters.
I'm thinking that I want to get some like coriander. Or cilantro in there to brighten that up and find a beer that'll play nice with that.
Maybe serve that with a goza. A
be a nice start. Yeah, I like that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Westbrook goza.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Second course. I feel like we need to do something that's vegetarian, right? Not necessarily. I think
we'll do a little veggie.
We need a poached egg with it though. Right? So, you know what? Skip that. Let's do a gumbo.
Really?
Let's do a gumbo, right? Let's celebrate like the great okra that's going to be in season here in just a little bit. You know, we're not going to make it too spicy. But
what's filet? Is filet something to do with gumbo?
Yeah, filet powder is from sassafras tree. It's I believe they make it from the bark, but it's dried and ground. And I'm sorry, it's made from the root, but you put it in the gumbo, and it thickens it up a little bit, the same way that like the okra does, or the.
So when you make a gumbo, what's your base? Like, do you start with certain ingredients?
Well, the most important thing is you got to start with a great stock. You know, so depending on what you're doing, you know, you kind of that's the direction you go. So, you know, if I'm doing seafood gumbo, I'm probably going to go with a shrimp stock, but it's got to be rich, you know, and kind of.
Let's say seafood gumbo is our second course. Dave, what beer would you pair with a seafood gumbo?
So it's not going to be super spicy. It's going to be just sort of warming kind
of? Yeah, it's not going to be super spicy. It's going to be more about, like, the nuttiness of the roux and, you know, and the seafood that's in it.
So maybe like a pale, you know, a pale ale that's got, you know, a pretty clean one. Maybe just a little bit of hop to it, you know, just a...
Like pick a label.
Oh, pick a label?
Yeah.
Does it have to be a southern label? Or is
no,
it
could be anything. It
could be anything. Well, I'll pick one that I had this weekend. The Treehouse Brewing Company, their Tornado Pale is pretty awesome. It's really super clean, not a lot of bitterness, but a lot of hop flavor. Unfiltered, and it's a really nice beer. It'd be perfect.
Okay, third course.
All right, third course. Let's do buttermilk fried quail. All right. So we'll do buttermilk fried quail with creamed collard greens.
All right. Tomas, what would you pair that with? It's kind of like fried chicken. What would you pair with fried chicken? A style of beer.
Fried chicken with a style of beer. I don't know, Jimmy. I'm not good with food pairings.
What would you do, Jimmy?
Yeah, I would say a wheat beer.
A wheat beer?
Some kind of wheat beer or...
with fried chicken, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
I used to say that they had a go-to. I said German wheat beers of any style went well with any food, and it's a blanket statement, but I'll stand by it because I feel like that German beers, especially the wheat beers, were meant to drink with food,
so. And especially fried food.
Yeah,
so that actually would,
yeah, versed, you know,
would work pretty well.
What do they call them when you pat? I'm like schnitzels, right? Schnitzels.
Yeah.
You'd have fried quail schnitzel. All right.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. We'll be back in a few minutes. We'll talk more about beer pairings, and we'll be back in a few minutes on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
All right.
All right. We got the Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks to our host, Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn. We're here every week on Tuesdays. We love it here. You guys do a great job. And we love eating here every Tuesday after our show.
I always
That's
look forward to
the show,
it.
Right?
Exactly.
We come in, we have a beer at the bar. Then we do our show.
It'd be great if we could sort of tape that part, too, you know, when we're sitting around.
It doesn't change. And then tonight, our Heritage Radio Network founder, Patrick Martins, with Mike Edison, it's their launch of... Their Carnivores Manifesto book will be in the backyard, Roberta's. We'll be tasting a lot of Heritage Foods USA hams like the Suriano, which is like amazing. There's so much great stuff going on here, Roberta's and Heritage Radio. You got to come out if you haven't been. And also, July Goober Month coming up one more time. Our friends at Coney Island on Tap, July 12th, it's going to be the signature event of July Goober Month. It's going to be in Coney Island at the Brooklyn Cyclone Stadium. Very cool. So check that out. We're going to be pushing that all month. Because we're trying to push July Good Beer Month, and we're talking about Good Beer Seal expanding to Toronto, possibly in Vermont, and we're with our chef from South Carolina, Brandon Carter from the Palmetto Bluff in South Carolina. Let's finish our we did a 5-course pair menu. He's sweating it out, but we're doing it. We got through the three. The first one was oysters with a goza. The second one was a seafood gumbo with a pale ale that Dave suggested. The third one was a fried quail. And we said it would be a German wheat. So what would be a fourth course, chef? Right,
so
he's like the beer chef now. So Brandon Carter is on a tour. Like, what is he going to be on? Oprah and Good Morning America.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But he's here on Beer Sessions Radio. It's pretty cool.
So fifth course, I think, is needs to be.
Actually, Oprah's
fourth,
coming on next month. Because
Oprah's coming on?
Yeah, because she wants to talk about beer now.
Oh, excellent.
Everybody wants to talk about Beer Sessions Radio.
See, they're all climbing on board now.
Yeah. You got Jack Inslee. Since Jack Inslee came back to the studio, our...
Everybody wants to be here now.
So, fifth course is going to be dessert. So, on
the fourth course.
Fourth course. Right.
They're fried quail.
Right. So fourth, we're going to...
Did you jump the gun? Did you put the fried quail... Should have been third or fourth course?
No. It's good. It's good at third because we're going to progress into this. So I think that for fourth course, we need to get nasty a little bit. You know, we need to like get on the charcoal grill, you know, and get some of those smoky flavors, that backyard feel going. Now we could either do it with a big steak or we could go with lamb. What do y'all think?
Oh, lamb.
I think lamb's the way to go, too.
For sure.
I'm going to tell you what. We get this lamb, and it's from...
Tomas, are you getting hungry?
I'm getting hungry.
See, he's Italian. He gets hungry all the time, just like me.
So we get this lamb from Virginia.
I know Jack's hungry. Fried quail. Like, oysters, seafood gumbo, right? Fried quail.
I make myself hungry sometimes.
You know, years ago, when I think I went for my first job, Lydia Bastianich, that great, renowned American chef, we talked briefly, and she said, you know, if I was going to find out who gets to go to cooking school, I'd sit them down and put a plate of cookies in front of them. And the kids that grabbed the cookies would get into cooking school. The kids that didn't wouldn't get into cooking school. So I think we're all on the same page here.
Yeah, I mean, my general rule of thumb is, like, cook what you like to eat, right? So if you're not a fat kid, then... probably can't be a chef.
What's our fourth course? Nasty charcoal grill, smoky.
So, yeah, let's charcoal grill some lamb racks from Border Springs in Virginia. So we'll charcoal grill those, and I think that we just keep it kind of simple, where it's like, you know, maybe some charred Vidalia onions with it and the lamb, and then let's do like a board dressing. So. We're gonna chop some like rosemary and some shallots, and we'll have some like cracked peppercorn in there.
What'd you call the dressing? A board dressing.
A board dressing.
What's that?
What we'll do is we're gonna put it on the cutting board, and we're gonna slice our meat, right? And then with all the juices that drip out, we're gonna baste them over top of the meat.
Oh.
Right.
So is that a Southern thing? Cutting board
dressing.
It's
not. It's not. I read it in a book. I can't remember the name of the book though.
That's from Oprah.
Yeah, I know. The book club.
And the last course, fifth course. Does it have to be dessert?
Yeah, I think we need to end with something sweet, but we'll do something that's not too crazy sweet. I'm thinking that you know what I love? I love tres leche cake with like coconut whipped cream and like some caramelized mango.
You're gonna get diabetes, man.
Oh, come on!
Oh, no way.
Whatever. This is a love affair. Oh, yeah. let's end it with the tres leches. I don't know what we're going to pair with that, but
well, there's a lot of things out there we can pair with that.
All right.
Imperial stouts, and oh man, there's tons of stuff.
Last night we did a bearded. Our dessert was paired with Finback Brewing. It's a new place in Queens. They had a session stout. It was called Coasted Coconut. So it was like a toasted coconut, you know, hinted chocolate stout. And things like that, I would say
a coffee stout, you know, like a really nice coffee.
Now he's got a pairing.
Yeah, now he's got a pairing.
Tomas only has a pairing for dessert because he likes to eat dessert. So,
yeah.
What? Dude de Ciel has a good one?
Dude de Ciel.
Pêche Mortel.
Oh. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Done.
Tomas.
Done.
I think that's
Tomas
the best pairing.
Likes dessert. That's TKO. What he likes. I love that. All right. Now is a more serious question. So, again, for our South Carolina chef, it's from @SFDumplingLover. It's on Twitter. You can Twitter us also @beer_sessions. If you were making a backyard beer can chicken, what type of beer would you use, chef?
PBR.
Why? Just use the cheap stuff?
Yeah. Why waste a great beer on? Yeah.
But what about yellow pills? Like Oscar Blues yellow pills. That's good.
Yeah. I mean, yellow pills. It would definitely be a great beer for it. But some things like it's just tried and true. You know. A can of PBR.
I can't talk about that there. You can only talk about craft beer. So what else you brought? You brought us Anderson Valley. What was that?
Yeah.
Would you cook a beer can chicken with a hoppy beer like that? Would you use a Dale's Pale Ale or something?
Yeah, I don't know that I would do it more with the yellow pill.
So you like just like a watered down beer?
Yeah, I want something that's a little bit lighter.
So why would you put a can of beer into a chicken and cook it? Like, what does that do for the chicken?
It keeps it nice and moist.
Moist,
and, yeah. You know, and it stands it up, so it kind of becomes more convection. You know, so it's cooking the chicken all around instead of like on one side.
But then why is the can inside it?
Because it evaporates up inside of it.
It evaporates and keeps it moist.
Into the meat.
It's like a stand. It's
disturbing you, isn't it?
I've seen those recipes, and I've always wondered whoever made that up.
You're imagining yourself as that chicken. That's the problem.
I don't like that.
a sick person.
Stop thinking that way.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just getting learn drinking good beer out of cans.
It's funny, you know, like I've got a Big Green Egg up in Vermont, and I use it all the time. And I've started, I got that, you know, you can get these wizard things that control the temperature. You know, it's like this little computer thing that you hook up to your thing. And so you can constantly monitor it, and it puffs air into the fire at it's crazy.
Does it text message you too?
It does not text. It hasn't started communicating with me yet, but I'm sure it will. But I can cook it like 225 degrees, like with total control in my backyard. So I'm like, you know, cooking everything at a really low temperature. And so I always, you know, keep liquids in the pan, and they last. You know, so I've got this great stock at the end to make a great gravy with, and the meat. You know, especially like pork shoulder or something that's usually tough.
Let's pop the Anderson Valley before we finish
let's
up.
Do it.
All right. This is awesome. We got to talk about beer and food in Vermont. So, Tomas, so you like desserts, but you have a Cass Festival. You think that Toronto's worthy of being good Brasil. You got some bars up there that you think they're driving the craft beer scene.
Bars and breweries, yeah. I think people from the U.S. got to come up to Canada every once in a while and try out.
Yeah.
And Dave, you too. I mean, we've had outreach from guys in Chicago, Virginia, upstate New York over the years talking about good Brasil. Dave, Vermont, one more time. Tell a couple of the worthy, you're worthy burger, but worthy good nice. Brasil places in Vermont.
Yeah, no, there's Three Penny, obviously, and Farmhouse Tap and Grill, Prohibition Pig, cheers. And Blackback, and Positive Pie. Cheers.
So Chad Richmond, Prohibition Pig.
Yeah, he was just down this weekend doing the Big Apple.
He came
thing.
Down for our New York City Brewers Choice this year with
yes.
you guys.
Yep, he's been and he. I just stopped by on Wednesday, and he bought the building behind him. It's all jacked up in the air, and he's pouring a new foundation. He's putting a brewery in there.
Wow!
So Pro Pig is going to be this complex.
That's one thing. So in places like Toronto and Vermont, you guys, beer bar owners, beer restaurant owners, you're making a difference. You're getting people. You're actually doing what most people weren't able to do. You know,
right?
Create a craft beer scene,
exactly,
which is what you guys both do. So,
well, it helps everybody,
yeah.
everywhere,
for real. You know, a few more things. Tomas, one more thing. So, I love you, man. You came all the way. He came all the way to New York to come on the show because we said we want to talk to you about Toronto beers. And one thing he asked was he wants to have a beer night out. So we're going to go out tonight. First, we're going to stick around Roberta's. We're going to check on Patrick Martin's Carnivore Manifesto launch in the backyard. And then where are we going next, Dave? There's some places you had on the list.
I think we're going to go to Fool's Gold, Patrick's new place on the Lower East Side. Just happens to be next to my hotel. And but I've been walking by it the last 2 days and looking in. I'm going, oh, we got to get in there. So I think we'll go there. And there's a lot of great stuff over in the East Village. And I don't, you know, I usually stay around the Tiger. So it's fun for me to go to these new places and sort of check out what's going on the East Side.
I mean, some of the places we like over there, I mean, I always like Jimmy's Number 43. It's my home base. I don't have to pay for beers.
Exactly. It's free.
But and Proletariat, too, with Corey.
Proletariat's awesome.
St. Mark's. So
great stuff.
We're going to hit a few places over there.
Yeah.
Going down Lower East Side, Ted Kinney's Top Hops is great. This ABC Beer Co. on Avenue C. Malt and Mold, it's really a beer shop, Lower East Side. But there's some great places down there now.
Yeah,
so we're looking for those places, but
that's where we're going to be.
You
tonight.
You guys are awesome, and thanks. And before the sign off again, July Good Beer Month is coming out. One of the signature events is Coney Island on Tap. Check it out, July 12th. at the Brooklyn Cyclone Stadium in Coney Island. And next week at Jimmy's Number 43, we're Beer Sessions Radio, but we also do cider. And we're hosting a very special cider summit. It's called Cider Wick. We've got some of the top cider makers in the Northeast. And they're going to release the Real Cider Manifesto next weekend at Jimmy's Number 43. So you can check that out. And what else do we have to talk about?
We've got my beer going off tomorrow night. Catherine and I made Ye Olde Limey at Captain Lawrence about a month ago, and it's going off tomorrow at the Tiger. So it's our version of a summer ale, brown ale with lime essence.
Thomas, are you in town tomorrow?
I am in town.
You better
come over.
Oh, man.
Then this week, what happened? Ninkasi. So that's a West Coast brewery. Everyone's been talking about that.
Portland.
But what happened? Did they come to New York or not?
They did come eventually. It took a while. The trucks were supposed to come in on Thursday or Wednesday. Didn't arrive. All kinds of fiascos. We got half the beer for yesterday. Today's Tuesday. Yes. Yesterday, Monday, and the rest is coming eventually.
So you're going to have some Ninkasi at Blind
There's
Time.
Some on right now.
Oh, that's great. And then our new buddy, Brandon Carter, the executive chef, the Inn at Palmetto Bluff. You're our new beer chef, man. Thanks so much for coming
on
and talking
pleasure.
About pairings. And what was this last beer? You poured us an Anderson Valley.
Yeah, we've got the Anderson Valley Hilcho hops. I think
it's really nice.
All right.
It's Val Allen.
It's nice. Quite delicious.
And Tomas, tell us, when is your next cast day in Toronto?
Cast days is happening October 27th, 28th, and 29th.
So we should get up there.
Jimmy.
Yeah.
3 days.
That's a good time.
Yeah, we're going to get up there. All right.
We want to bring the U.S. breweries up to Canada this year. We did U.K., 30 firkins from U.K. last year, and we're hoping to bring some micros from the U.S. up to Toronto this October.
So one point of this show is, July Good Beer Month is coming up for New York, but with the Good Beer Seal, we really wanted to reach out to other cities. And, there's Dan Lanigan in Boston. There's guys in Chicago, Virginia, in the South, but definitely Vermont and Toronto. We want to talk to you all because this next year what we're going to do is we're going to try to create, what is the Good Beer Seal? Is it a Michelin star? Is it a community? We really want to support the small, independently owned beer bars across the country and in Canada, too. So thanks for listening, everybody. I'm going to sign off. We've got some great people behind the show, Jack Inslee. Maggie Seiden and Justin Kennedy are our producers. Thanks for joining me here on the Heritage Radio Network. Dave Tomas, Brandon, and everybody else. So cheers. We'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio. All right.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.